blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in to a unexpected Full Time Report based on what we just saw. You know, Garrett, this is the second show in a row that I have done where I have had to tear up the script right before. Yesterday, it was the news in the NBA, DeJounte Murray, and today, I was prepared to discuss a draw, and I was prepared to both compliment and criticize here. And I really don't feel like I want to criticize anymore after a miracle victory for Atlanta United. They grabbed 3 points from the jaws of just the one.
Yeah.
Ahead, and it is all thanks to a play that I've watched on YouTube time and time again. I swear they were fake. I swear they never happen in real life, but we saw it today. Goalkeeper, unaware of a player down behind the net, rolls the ball to himself, looking for a long clear. Lo and behold, TRA comes and snatches that ball, takes a touch to create a little bit of space from the keeper, and puts it in the back of the net. This was in the 98th minute here, Garrett. Look, we've talked about some disappointing results previously, maybe draws that feel like losses, etc. And tonight probably is one that should have been a draw that you end up taking the full three. It's a much-needed full three at home. It came in a weird way.
Yeah, Nate, we talked about it a lot during the pregame show. This team needed 3 points at home. Like a fish needs water. And, I mean, it goes back to March 31st, the last time this team got a win at home. And to see the catharsis, we talked about it after that Miami win down there in Fort Lauderdale, and it was the catharsis that the team felt where the burden was just lifted. It was a 10-ton weight that was on their backs, and they felt it every single time they came out onto the pitch at home. And they know that they owe it to these fans. They owe it to themselves to come out here and get positive results, and that means wins. And it doesn't matter how it comes. But 3 points, that's 3 points or 3 points?
Yeah, it was a moment, a special moment, not just for TRA, but for this crowd who stuck around. And it wasn't necessarily the biggest Atlanta United crowd, but it may have been one of the louder ones tonight in that moment. Not just, by the way, in that moment. Paying respects after final whistle had been blown to Jamal TRA as well. Again, the 98th minute goal. We'll get you set up with all of that stuff in just a moment. Before we continue here, though, on the Full Time Report, a statistical recap that is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession close to being split right down the middle. I had it at 49% Atlanta, 51% Toronto. Shots were close as well. Toronto with a 14-12 edge. Atlanta United had the 5-4 edge shots on goal. And the XG, again, that number's all over the place everywhere. So I always feel I give a different number than Mike Conley did, but we use different websites, and it's good. I know. His website gave Atlanta United a lot higher XG. I might have to switch over. I had it at 1.57 versus 1.25 for Toronto there. Garrett, this is a situation here where you had a chance to move up the leaderboards today. If not actually jump, at least pull into a tie with points. You needed 3 points. You had opportunities to get 3 points at home and given them up. Today it went the exact opposite. It looked like you were dropping points, and then you found a way to get all three.
It felt like they were so close down there, down the stretch, just in the final 10 minutes and change. Just by the time I went down to the sideline, and of course you guys heard it, I was speaking with Rob Valentino after the game, and it just felt like Atlanta had a lot of momentum. Everything was playing into their hands, and they just couldn't seem to get that last touch. They couldn't seem to get that last bit just to put the ball in the back of the net for them. And it felt like it was coming, but it just seemed like it was going to be a tease of sorts, you know, where it's just going to just be right there, just beyond your grasp. And so often, going back to the end of March, it seems like those kinds of results have hit Atlanta very hard. And they just haven't been able to finish at the last brink, and they finally were able to today. And look, they've snuck up this table too. I mean, they started 13th place in the Eastern Conference when Rob Valentino took over. Now they're 8th. They're right there in the thick of it.
Yeah, and we talked about it. They have an opportunity to make a run, and certainly they're going to need to be a little bit better than they were tonight. Mm-hmm. At times it did look like this one was headed for a splitting of the points and a draw. But now you do carry a little bit of momentum into this game against the New England Revolution. They've got some momentum of their own. But, again, anytime you can potentially – and I'm not saying you're going up and beating New England, but anytime you potentially have an opportunity for 6 points in 1 week, you talk about climbing up the table. That's certainly an opportunity to do so. And so very, very – I mean, I'm still almost at a loss for words.
It was really, incredible.
Because I'm mentally preparing for what I want to say in regards to it. No, I'm just being honest.
No, you're true. It's true.
With another draw at home, and yes, you're getting some points, you're getting some results, but at home you've got to be better. You got to be this, you got to be that. And then in the blink of an eye, with one of the last kicks of the game, quite literally, you find a way. I'll be honest, too. And Luka Gavron, the goalie there, obviously a tough position for him. He's filling in for Sean Johnson there in the net for Toronto. I actually thought he was going to tackle Thierry. I thought he was going to take him out, concede the penalty, and take your best chance there. It looked for a second like he was going upper body drag.
Yeah.
And he probably should have.
Probably.
If we're going to be quite honest, and certainly not, you know, asking for this game to have played out differently. but quite frankly, I thought he was going to tackle him, and he probably should have. He gets red carded, but at least he concedes just a penalty kick. Who knows what happens? But that was always going to be a goal once the space was separated and created by Thierry.
I have to interrupt just for a moment, Abe, just to point out if he does that, he's sent off. It's dog show. Toronto's out of subs. So
it doesn't matter.
You're going to make an outfield player put gloves on.
Who cares?
You conceded
a goal. I agree with the situation. I've also seen.
I'll go back to my corner now.
That's not what I mean.
I think at that moment he's probably realizing I'm not going to make. I'm not going to make Federico Bernardeschi put gloves on and try to save a penalty.
Why not? It's not going to work out worse.
I'll tell you what, and we'll get into this later when it's actually my turn. I'm interrupting now. If you watch the replay, Gavron is still making a play on the ball,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is a defender coming back as well. Thierry actually had a better finish than I think people realize. That was not a slam dunk. Like, he actually
had to moving away from goal.
Yeah.
He's able to find the center and that save. He obviously knows he just got to get it on net at that point.
But I just think it should be pointed out. If he fouls him, it's dog show. He is sent off. It's a penalty against an outfield player.
I would take that. I'm just being honest. Like, I would take
that
chance.
We'll debate later.
Well, Bernardeschi maybe could have distracted a penalty kicker with that terrible haircut he has.
Years ago, and I know we'll talk Portugal as they run through the Euros. Years ago, Portugal's goalie got sent off. They put a outfield player in net with no gloves, and he did make a save. It was a terrible PK, to be fair.
Well, look, give yourself an opportunity. I think that's what you're trying to say. And I feel terrible for Gavron, too, because he played an incredible match. I mean, he played out of his mind. He had some pretty incredible saves, and he really gave Toronto an opportunity not just to come out of here with points, but to win this game at times. I mean, just the way that he was playing in goal, and to have that ripped away from him in the way that it was in that fashion, it's brutal for him. But look, I don't care. I'll take 3 points.
We will take 3 points. There's no denying that. It is the full-time report with Abe Gordon here, Garrett Chapman, and, of course, Mike Connie. We're going to be hearing from him when we get the roundtable going with Jason Longshore as well. On the other side, we're going to hear from Atlanta United goalkeeper Brad Guzan. Jason Longshore was down in the locker room, able to catch up with Guz. We'll hear from him, and we'll hear the highlights right in about 5 minutes. This is the full-time report live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is a unexpected victory. Not unexpected from the start, but right at the very end, it was 1-1, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't. 2-1 for Atlanta United, all 3 points. We'll hear the highlights and what Brad Guzan has to say on the other side on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
She pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. And maybe I should stop and start confessing, yeah. Oh, I've been shaking.
Vibes are immaculate here on the full-time report. Atlanta United wins 2-1 over Toronto. So we got some great music bringing us back in. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're at Atlanta United is the victor. And look, we got a lot to get into here on the Full-Time Report. We're just minutes away from welcoming in Mike Conti and Jason Longshore to continue this discussion of what we saw here on the pitch as Atlanta United snaps a 7-match winless streak here in their home building. But before we do any of that, Abe, I got to jump into some highlights. What do you say? Because these are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And look, this was kind of a slow start. It was a little bit back and forth at first. And Toronto appeared to get on the board first, but VAR wipes off the early TFC goal due to an offsides. And Atlanta United finishes with two shots through the first 45 minutes of action, but all it took was one on target by Atlanta Starboy to get Atlanta on the board.
Fortune will flick it backwards to Cobb. Cobb to Williams. Oh, a good through ball now to Almada. Played ahead. Rios back to Almada. Top of the arc. Dribble, dribble, dribble. Shot. Score! In what could very possibly be his final Mercedes-Benz Stadium appearance, has given Atlanta United the 1-0 lead.
The Marietta Magician, the old 1-2 with Daniel Rios, gets him his first assist of this season and first in an Atlanta United kit. And Thiago Almada's third goal in the last 5 matches in what very well could be his final game here in Atlanta. Atlanta takes a 1-0 lead into the locker room, but it wasn't held very long. Bernadeschi evens it up with a stunner off his left foot just moments into the second half.
He'll flick it down the middle to Insigne. He'll play a long diagonal that will connect with Bernadeschi in the near corner somehow. Bernadeschi dribbling into the box on Wiley to the penalty spot. Shot! Score! Bernadeschi! Beating Brad Guzan to the back post and equalizing just 1 minute into the second half.
All it took is a moment, and Bernadeschi was able to put the ball in the back of the net. And it seemed like that moment was going to evade Atlanta United up until the 8th minute of stoppage time in the second half. Jamal Traore stuns Toronto.
Traore couldn't get to it. The defender, who was draped all over him, got a touch.
Here's a steal off Traore. He will turn to shoot, score! He scores! I don't believe it! The goalkeeper put the ball down. Traore took it away from him and scored. Atlanta United might have just pulled off grand theft.
Grand theft indeed. Atlanta United finishes this one with a 2-1. Winner. Suddenly, 2-0-2 under Rob Valentino, and Atlanta United is up to 8th in the Eastern Conference and right where they want him.
You know, I heard Mike Conti doubting himself a little bit on that call. That's a heck of a call.
Because, that's a tremendous call.
Because it comes from nowhere. There is no buildup. There is no expectation of being in a moment where the game can change. But the quick realization of what was happening, that's a very good job by Mike Conti. He should be proud. And there was a little bit of that for me a couple doors down and the gentlemen who are in the booth to my right as well. If you put your head down for even a split second in that moment, and by the way, it's just a regular long ball from a goalkeeper. Why would you be zoned in, zeroed in? If we're going to be honest, I was watching the U.S. Olympic track and field trials, and I looked up just in the moment to see Traore with the ball. Like, what is going on here? What just happened? And obviously, the goalkeeper from Toronto FC was asking himself the same question. I know we'll kind of joke and make fun of it. I have seen this play so many times on YouTube. I never thought it was a real play.
Look, I
like, surely it's the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals, and it has to be a setup. It's the Savannah Bananas of the MLS. Like it has to be agreed upon before the match. This is how it's going to play out. I never thought I'd see it in real life. I've seen it before, but only in highlights. I never thought I'd see it in real life. And to kind of go into detail of what happens here, Jamal Traore goes for a ball that's been crossed in, and he kind of tumbles down behind the goal against the boards, right? Yep. And so in the moment, he stays down for a quick second. He actually goes, and it looked like he grabs a drink from the goalies. And so he stands back there. And so this didn't just happen by coincidence. It wasn't just, I happened to be right there in the moment. He had been planning this out from the moment he goes down and the goalkeeper has control of the ball. And so he did sneak up behind him, you know, a cartoon sneak, a little bit quiet to make sure the goalie doesn't hear him, that sort of thing. But yeah, as soon as the goalkeeper rolls it in front of him with the backspin, ready to serve a long ball down the field, TRA, who's only a step and a half behind the goalie at that time, does jump out, does go grab the ball, takes an extra touch to create a little bit more space between him and the goalkeeper, and finds the back of the net. It's not an easy finish. It's not the most difficult finish in the world. It's not an easy finish as he's moving away from the goal, falling a little bit backwards, but he does put it right into the heart of the net. And so that's how it got built up. Again, I never thought that was a real goal, even though I've seen him on YouTube. I never thought it was real until we saw it tonight.
Hey, I know Georgia Tech fans are very familiar with it. Jose Alvarado is somewhere smiling right now.
I've seen it in basketball all the time. That was the Abe special back in the day.
Where somebody rolls the basketball up the court and somebody sneaks in from behind. And Georgia Tech fans are very familiar with it. Jose Alvarado, of course, doing that now with the New Orleans Pelicans. And I've never in my life seen something like that. And it's the most MLS finish possible. But you know what? I'll take it. But let's go back down to the locker room. Jason Longshore caught up with the goalkeeper for Atlanta United, Brad Guzan.
Down here in the Atlanta United locker room with Brad Guzan. And Brad, in your long career, have you ever had a match end like that?
No. Daxi and I were joking as we were walking off the field. I don't think we've ever seen that in all of our years combined. You know, to be honest, when I saw him at the beginning of that play, he started drinking water next to the post, and I'm thinking to myself, come on, Jamal, like, we need you to get back and help us here, like this and that, whatever, we got to win the ball back. And then next thing you know, the goalkeeper puts it down, he pops out of nowhere, turns the corner, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what a finish. Sometimes you need a little bit of luck. We talk about that the last couple of weeks, right? The little bit of something that kind of gives us that turn. And on the back of the last two results, to have this start the week now, going into a massive two games away, it's a huge result.
Felt like a really even match, really back and forth. Neither team could kind of gain control. Is that how it felt?
Yeah, we weren't the best. We were a bit sloppy, you know, but like I said, you take it however it comes. And it was certainly a crazy one. I know hearing the roar of the bends, that brought me back to the glory years, and that's what we want to be giving our fans, you know, moments like that to shout and cheer about.
I got to ask you too. I know GK Union is strong. I saw you have a conversation with Luca after that. Just what can you share of that conversation?
I just said, you know, listen, keep your head up. You know, he made a couple good saves to keep them in the game, to keep it 1-1, and you know, it doesn't feel nice when you're in that moment. It certainly doesn't feel nice. We've all been there. We've all had massive gaffes that lead to goals that cost results and points for your team. But I just said to him, it's about how you respond, because people are now going to be looking at him to see how he responds to that mistake. But like I said, he kept him in the game, and now he needs to make sure he leans on his support staff around him and stay strong. And like I said, the people will be looking now to see how he responds.
Quick turn to get to New England on Wednesday. What do you want to see tighten up and be better on Wednesday night?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we didn't do a great job of really threatening them in terms of, you know, whether playing through them, playing over them, and beyond. We just weren't great on the ball. And so we need to make sure that, especially on the road, we carry the same mentality that we had the last two games in D.C. and St. Louis. It'll be another long road trip for us, but one that we're going to look forward to and roll our sleeves up and get down to work.
Appreciate it. We'll see you at the airport.
Atlanta United, of course, going on the road to play New England, who just lost 5-1, giving up five consecutive goals to Columbus in that match. And now they have Atlanta United fresh off of a 2-1 victory here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But we got to go up there to New England to play that one. But for tonight, sometimes you can pull a rabbit out of a hat, or you can just find Jamal Tiare. We'll continue with this discussion. This is the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon, waiting on Mike Conti and Jason Longshore just on the other side. This is the Full Time Report.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
Little Rush. Welcome you back into the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after a 2-1 Atlanta United victory. And I guess I'll phrase it this way, and we've got some comments from Daniel Rios coming in just a moment. We're going to welcome Mike Conti and Jason Longshore in as well. I want to take care of a couple things before we do that. Jamal Thierry, I think I phrased it this way here, Garrett. It's the Teenage Abe movie theater special. You coming in the back door. You see what I'm saying? And so he goes ahead.
I might have to take my headset after.
And he scoops one from behind and gets the goal, and that's what leads you to a 2-1 victory. We forgot to do it earlier, and want to make sure we just have it on record. Garrett, who is our man of the match?
That's the magician himself. It's Jamal Thierry. I mean, without him, without that finish right there, Atlanta United drops 2 points in this match. I mean, the win was critical. For Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was something that they needed to get behind them. They needed to get over this winless streak. And if it's not for his antics right there at the very end, Atlanta's dropping 2 points. And we're not talking about a win. We're talking about how the winless stretch continues and what they're able to do to get over the hump and what's that lingering, that last little bit that they need to do. And instead, we're talking about one of the most incredible finishes that I've ever seen in a sporting event.
Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. A little while ago, Jason Longshore was in the Atlanta United locker room, had a chance to catch up with Daniel Rios.
In the locker room here with Daniel Rios. And Daniel, you get your first assist of the season. Could you talk about that sequence with Thiago Almada?
Yeah, it was a 1-2 with Thiago. He loves to play and go and move. I think good link, good connection. He was free, good finish, beautiful goal.
Second assist of the season, sorry about that. It was a tight match. Very back and forth. Felt like it was tough for both teams to get control. How did it feel for you trying to find space against Toronto?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. They were defending with five in the back, two midfielders. I think we penetrate them through the sides, but the final pass wasn't clear, like to the feet. And I think we controlled pretty well the first half. We had the ball most of the time. Second half changed a little bit. They start to have more ball possession, but at the end, it was a crazy game, good crazy goal. We needed it, the fans needed it, and it was awesome.
I know we've seen goals like that before, not often, but have you ever seen one to end a game like that?
No, I think this is, I've seen one before, but this is way much crazier, and it was amazing. Just the feeling in front of the fans, it was great.
So two tough games on the road coming up, a long trip, New England and then Real Salt Lake. What do you feel like the team has to improve on going into those two?
I think we have to improve to keep a clean sheet. Like today, we were winning 1-0, controlling the game, and sometimes, most of the time, they look pretty easy how they score the goals against us. So I think, as a team, we can do better to just keep the zero in the back. We can win games 1-0, and that's it. We game over. We have to improve in that.
Great stuff, Daniel. See you at the airport on Tuesday.
There you go, Jason Longshore down in the locker room, and he and Mike Conti now join us here for the full-time report roundtable.
Hey, Abe.
Yes.
I owe you an apology.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear. Hold on. Are we recording, Dom?
No, you were right. You were right.
Yeah.
Gavrin should have tried to foul TRA. He might have even tried to foul him, but watching the replay, he's outside the 18. You were right.
He's outside the 18. He gets red carded. There's no denying that.
So what happens is he would be red carded for dog show. You're putting gloves on an outfield player to defend against a free kick.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have a wall.
I would have felt even with a penalty kick, even aware of the box, but seeing a second glance that it was, like I thought, outside the box, more so.
But here's the thing, guys. It's easy to say that.
Of course.
If you could only imagine what expletives were flying in Luca Gavrin's head at that point about everything going on, you're not thinking that way.
Well,
you can't.
We've got the...
Well, you see the last second thing where it's like it runs through his head, and then he tries to slide at the last possible second.
Yeah, he tries to get to him. He just can't.
But you see where the gears were turning very quickly, but he's just not physically
able
to do
it. We've got the 10,000-foot view up here. In the press box, it's much easier to say than in the moment. I don't know how MLS goal of match day voting goes, if it's quality versus situational, but if it's one of the four or one of the five that they throw up there, I don't know. We'll see if we can rally the troops on that. It certainly might mean more than any of the other goals, but it was something special. Like you said with Daniel Rios, Jason, I watch a ton of YouTube highlights. You watch a ton. Mm-hmm. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
I never thought I would see it in real life.
I've never seen it in real life. It's more of the moment for me that is so incredible. And, I mean, you heard it in Brad's interview where, you know, initially I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, there's still a few seconds here. Jamal's really slow to come back. I noticed he had stopped to grab a drink of water. I'm like, okay. I didn't even cross my mind that's what he was setting up, but he planned it. He knew exactly what he was doing.
You start to see him, you know, I have a husky chipper, and I've seen her hunt.
No.
He is 100%, from the time he steps back onto the field, stops faking the drinking and all that, he is stalking at that point. That is what that was, and that's what it turned into.
He did a really good job in that of staying right behind him.
So the outfield players couldn't see him either.
Yeah, I went back and looked at it because that was what jumped out to me immediately is you've got to help your goalkeeper in that situation.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be yelling. The first person to realize it was Cosey Thompson, a midfielder, and he's too far away, and he noticed it too late to do anything about it. He's the one who reacted trying to run in. He was the defender who got closest to it but couldn't get there.
We're a little bit late on break, so we're going to take one now. Continue the roundtable discussion. Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. It's also Garrett Chapman and Abe Gordon. This is the full-time report. 2-1 win for Atlanta United right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You used to call me on my... You used to.
Luca.
AJ.
Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone.
Atlanta United winners 2-1 over Toronto FC, snapping a 7-match winless streak here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Welcome back into the full-time report. A little bit of Drake bringing us back in. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, joined by Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. And because we do get an Atlanta United win, I get a Mo's victory read. And as a proud partner of Atlanta United, Mo's would like to say congratulations on a well-earned victory. As promised, Atlanta United's two goals means tomorrow's Mo's will be, or Mo's will be knocking off $2, all burritos and bowls. Atlanta, when we win, you win. So get to Mo's and enjoy the bold flavor of your victorious $2 off a burrito or bowl. And Toronto, since Mo's and Atlanta United are such good sports, your team is welcome to take advantage of this delicious deal too. Mike, I want to ask you a little bit about the star boy for Atlanta United, who this may have been his very last match in an Atlanta United uniform at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And he has really an incredible finish, just the personification of what he's been here. A quick finish, a 1-2 off of Daniel Rios. What is his legacy at this point? Just looking back at his career, assuming that this is that last match.
I think you could make the argument that he is at least the second best outfield player in Atlanta United history.
Mm.
And you could possibly even make an argument the best.
A Monday warrior, mean strike today. your mean, mean pride.
Little Rush. Welcome you back into the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after a 2-1 Atlanta United victory. And I guess I'll phrase it this way, and we've got some comments from Daniel Rios coming in just a moment. We're going to welcome Mike Connie and Jason Longshore in as well. I want to take care of a couple things before we do that. Jamal Thierry, I think I phrased it this way here, Garrett. It's the Teenage Abe movie theater special. You coming in the back door. You see what I'm saying? And so he goes ahead.
I might have to take my headset off.
He scoops one from behind and gets the goal, and that's what leads you to a 2-1 victory. We forgot to do it earlier, and want to make sure we just have it on record. Garrett, who is our man of the match?
That's the magician himself. It's Jamal Thierry. I mean, without him, without that finish right there, Atlanta United drops 2 points in this match. I mean, the win was critical. For Atlanta.
Yeah.
That was something that they needed to get behind them. They needed to get over this winless streak. And if it's not for his antics right there at the very end, Atlanta's dropping 2 points. And we're not talking about a win. We're talking about how the winless stretch continues and what they're able to do to get over the hump and what's that lingering, that last little bit that they need to do. And instead, we're talking about one of the most incredible finishes that I've ever seen in a sporting event.
Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. A little while ago, Jason Longshore was in the Atlanta United locker room, had a chance to catch up with Daniel Rios.
In the locker room here with Daniel Rios. And Daniel, you get your first assist of the season. Could you talk about that sequence with Thiago Almada?
Yeah, it was a 1-2 with Thiago. He loves to play and go and move. I think good link, good connection. He was free, good finish, beautiful goal.
Second assist of the season, sorry about that. It was a tight match. Very back and forth. Felt like it was tough for both teams to get control. How did it feel for you trying to find space against Toronto?
Yeah, it wasn't easy. They were defending with five in the back, two midfielders. I think we penetrate them through the sides, but the final pass wasn't clear, like to the feet. And I think we controlled pretty well the first half. We had the ball most of the time. Second half changed a little bit. They start to have more ball possession, but at the end, it was a crazy game, good crazy goal. We needed it, the fans needed it, and it was awesome.
I know we've seen goals like that before, not often, but have you ever seen one to end a game like that?
No, I think this is, I've seen one before, but this is way much crazier, and it was amazing. Just the feeling in front of the fans, it was great.
So two tough games on the road coming up, a long trip, New England and then Real Salt Lake. What do you feel like the team has to improve on going into those two?
I think we have to improve to keep a clean sheet. Like today, we were winning 1-0, controlling the game, and sometimes, most of the time, they look pretty easy how they score the goals against us. So I think, as a team, we can do better to just keep the zero in the back. We can win games 1-0, and that's it. We game over. We have to improve in that.
Great stuff, Daniel. See you at the airport on Tuesday.
There you go, Jason Longshore down in the locker room, and he and Mike Connie now join us here for the full-time report roundtable.
Hey, Abe?
Yes.
I owe you an apology.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear. Hold on. Are we recording, Dom? Are we?
No, you were right. You were right.
Yeah.
Gavron should have tried to foul Thierry. He might have even tried to foul him, but watching the replay, he's outside the 18. You were right.
He's outside the 18. He gets red carded. There's no denying that.
So what happens is he would be red carded for dog show. You're putting gloves on an outfield player to
defend
against a free kick.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have a wall.
I would have felt even with a penalty kick, even wearing the box, but seeing a second glance that it was like I thought, outside the box, I mean, more so.
But here's the thing, guys. It's easy to say that.
Of course.
If you could only imagine what expletives were flying in Luka Gavrin's head at that point about everything going on, you're not thinking that way.
Well,
you can't.
We've got the...
Well, you see the last second thing where it's like it runs through his head, and then he tries to slide at the last possible
second. Yeah, he tries to get to it. He just can't.
But you see where the gears were turning very quickly, but he's just not physically
able
to do it.
We've got the 10,000-foot view up here. In the press box, it's much easier to say than in the moment. I don't know how MLS goal of match day voting goes. If it's quality versus situational, but if it's one of the four or one of the five that they throw up there, I don't know. We'll see if we can rally the troops on that. It certainly might mean more than any of the other goals, but it was something special. Like you said with Daniel Rios, Jason, I watch a ton of YouTube highlights. You watch a ton. Mm-hmm. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never thought I would see it in real life.
I've never seen it in real life. It's more of the moment for me that is so incredible. And, I mean, you heard it in Brad's interview where, you know, initially I'm kind of thinking the same thing. I'm like, there's still a few seconds here. Jamal's really slow to come back. I noticed he had stopped to grab a drink of water. I'm like, okay. I didn't even cross my mind that's what he was setting up, but he planned it. He knew exactly what he was doing.
You start to see him, you know, I have a husky chipper, and I've seen her hunt.
No.
He is 100% from the time he steps back onto the field, stops faking the drinking and all that, he is stalking at that point. That is what that was, and that's what it turned into.
He did a really good job in that of staying right behind him.
So the outfield players couldn't see him either.
Yeah, I went back and looked at it because that was what jumped out to me immediately is you've got to help your goalkeeper in that situation.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be yelling. The first person to realize it was Kosi Thompson, a midfielder, and he's too far away, and he noticed it too late to do anything about it. He's the one who reacted trying to run in. He was the defender who got closest to it but couldn't get there.
We're a little bit late on break, so we're going to take one now. Continue the roundtable discussion. Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. It's also Garrett Chapman and Abe Gordon. This is the full-time report. 2-1 win for Atlanta United right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You used to call me on my. You used to.
Luca.
AJ.
Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone.
Atlanta United winners 2-1 over Toronto FC. Snapping a 7-match winless streak here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Welcome back into the full-time report. A little bit of Drake bringing us back in. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, joined by Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. And because we do get an Atlanta United win, I get a Mo's victory read. As a proud partner of Atlanta United, Mo's would like to say congratulations on a well-earned victory. As promised, Atlanta United's two goals means tomorrow's Mo's will be, or Mo's will be knocking off $2, all burritos and bowls. Atlanta, when we win, you win. So get to Mo's and enjoy the bold flavor of your victorious $2 off a burrito or bowl. And Toronto, since Mo's and Atlanta United are such good sports, your team is welcome to take advantage of this delicious deal too. Mike, I want to ask you a little bit about the star boy for Atlanta United, who this may have been his very last match in an Atlanta United uniform at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And he has really an incredible finish, just the personification of what he's been here. A quick finish, a 1-2 off of Daniel Rios. What is his legacy at this point? Just looking back at his career, assuming that this is that last match.
I think you could make the argument that he is at least the second best outfield player in Atlanta United history.
Mm.
And you could possibly even make an argument the best individual outfield player in Atlanta United history. I think the only other player in the argument is Miguel Almiron. I think you saw in his almost 3 years here, again, assuming, we don't know, but assuming this was his last home game. And by the way, I don't think this was his last game with Atlanta United. I think there's a decent chance that he could be on this upcoming road trip. Garth Lagerwey did say during the pregame show tonight that discussions are continuing with Eagle Football Group, but no No terms have been agreed to yet between the clubs. So if Thiago goes on the road trip, he would play. But I think his legacy will be someone who came in and for a stretch of time, maybe end of the 22 season through midway through 23 when Messi arrived, where you could argue that Thiago Almada was the best player in the league. And then Messi came in, obviously, and Messi's the best player in the world, so it's no slight on Thiago Almada. Really good player. Very, very cool that he got to go out on this note tonight, at least the home portion of his Atlanta United career, by scoring a goal here. Again, not definite, but certainly feels likely that's it for him. He did confirm downstairs a moment ago he is going to the Olympics. No shock there. And he did say downstairs it was possible that this was his last Atlanta United home game.
All respect to Miguel Almiron, but Thiago Almada is the most talented player Atlanta United's ever had. And there's a very good chance that we're still saying that in two, three decades. He is an unbelievable talent. And I think you see it in the different kinds of goals that he scores, the different kinds of sequences that he's involved in. I almost said it. It was in my mind late in that game. I said it a couple of times about how Toronto, what they were trying to do was get Bernardeschi or Insigne in 1v1 situations, and that was their offense. What I love about Thiago Almada is the team is not based on him doing everything. He elevates the players around him. He creates as many chances as he ends up with him for himself. He drops sometimes too much, but he drops in to try to help build up the play for the right reasons. He's trying to help the team. And he is honestly a very selfless player. At times, you kind of want him to take that shot from 30 yards out because you know he can hit it, even though it's not the right decision from a team perspective to take it. He's that good. I think we're going to look back at it in a while and say, man, we were really lucky to get to see some of the things that we saw with him. The San Jose game to open last season, some of the games where, I mean, it was as good as anybody in the world on that day.
The Portland match last year is the best single performance by an Atlanta United player ever and will be a very, very high bar to surpass. When Almada, I think he had two goals and three assists or something.
Yeah.
Like that. It was just an absolutely incredible night.
He's that good. I think that will remain for a long time, no matter who you go get. And it's not to say that you can't get somebody who's very good. It's just that Thiago is special. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he's been talked about for so much. So, this is it's a good thing, ultimately, for everyone involved that this is what's going to happen. And honestly, we talked about with Garth Lagerwey, the timing is good, too, because it gives you more time to go figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, and just I was going to mention on the back of that, this was ultimately always where it was headed.
Yeah,
I mean, you brought this guy in knowing he would be ideally moving on to Europe at some point, and you wanted to be, obviously, some point in a range. That was decently close because it meant that his trajectory continued upward. So it is now reaching its natural point where he does head to Europe if it does get finalized.
I've done too many hits on the station lately. I think I might have said this with you last night, Abe, in that, he elevated himself by coming here. And I think that's the element that is still in South America and in other parts of the world, too, that you have to understand. You can come here and get better. And that's what he did. I saw him at Vélez, and he was a very talented up-and-coming player. If he had went to Europe at that time, maybe in the right situation, he would have turned into what he is now. But he wouldn't have got the playing time straight away. He wouldn't have had, I think, the responsibility put on him in a good way. Mm-hmm. Not asking him to do everything, but letting him take on as much as he wants to help the team around him. I don't think he's a better player if he goes somewhere else. He's a better player for coming here. And I think he's the kind of guy that's going to tell the world that, too. And that's going to help Atlanta when you go recruit.
So I don't think it's as much telling the rest of the world. It's showing the rest of the world. And Atlanta United has seemed to do that from their inception back in 2017. From Miguel Almiron to all of these other homegrown players that we've seen. Five different guys playing at one time last match. This Atlanta United has shown time and time again that they are a place that you can come and develop the talent to win and succeed, not just here in an Atlanta United kit, but throughout the rest of your career as you can build up and establish yourself.
I know there's this narrative that comes up because you get connected to these players because you love what they do and you love what they do representing your team. And I understand it. We're all fans, of sports. and we feel that too. But Mike, we've had this conversation with staff members in terms of what players have told them when they've left, when they've been in other places, about how much they've looked back and either it's enjoyed how they were treated, enjoyed the facilities and just everything they got to be being a player for Atlanta United. And some who maybe thought the grass would be greener in other spots ended up finding out that's not the case. I think everybody looks back on their time here as a good time and a beneficial time.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where, as you said, that we have been told just privately of some players who are no longer here who have asked to come back. And I think that's remarkable. You know, there's a reason why Atlanta United is always in that player survey, the number one or number two choice among all players in the league as a club that they would want to play for. And there's so many different reasons, and what Garrett is saying about the infrastructure and the way that they develop young players, it's a big part of it.
Yeah, giving the kids an opportunity to play is huge.
But I think also what's huge, I mean, if you're in your car going home tonight, pat yourself on the back. Not too many people left after Toronto defended that recycled corner at the end of the game. It would have been very, very tempting to try to get in the aisle and beat a little bit of traffic. And it wasn't the most full crowd that I've ever seen here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but they were loud, and especially at the end of the game tonight. And look, the fans of this club have had to endure a bumpy couple months, especially with the performances at home. I'm not saying even that the performance tonight was dramatically better than the performance against Houston or even the performance against Charlotte and LAFC, matches where Atlanta United lost. They found some magic at the end of the match because Jamal Traore remained dialed in and remained engaged. And that was a great, great play by him. But I would say in general, I don't think this team is playing dramatically better now than they were maybe a month ago. I just think they're starting to get a little more luck, a few more bounces, and mentally they're dealing with adversity maybe a teeny bit better than they were. You conceded to Bernardeschi tonight. There was no letdown. Atlanta United, in my opinion, Jason, controlled the match from that point forward.
Yeah, there wasn't a letdown for sure. I think that's a... We've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
Where it's, and Rios kind of talked about it when I chatted with him. It was kind of out of nowhere. And so many times when that happens, when it's just a weird goal, it's a great play from Bernardeschi. Beats Wiley 1v1, finds the back of the net. So many times after that, you'd see that letdown.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a difference, it's that you haven't seen that lately. When I'm with you, I don't think they're playing great right now. I think they can play better. I think they need to play better. They need to control games a little bit more. They need to create a little bit more in the final third. They need to be better, but they're finding some things, and maybe it's just being good at hide and seek at this point.
Great teams find ways to win games, and at the end of the day, I mean, Atlanta United showed today that they can be that great team, and 45,000 fans, it's still a tremendous atmosphere here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I was down on the field, and I can contend, I could agree with everything you guys said. Not a soul left, it seemed like, and it was pretty damn loud down there on the pitch, and you could feel it down there, all 45,000 people on their feet. But this is the full-time report. Atlanta United is a 2-1 victor over Toronto FC. They go on the road next Wednesday to New England, and hopefully we can continue this and kind of keep the streak going. But we're going to keep this full-time report going. More on the other side. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman. If you guys have questions, make sure you get them into us on Twitter. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore, kind enough to sit in with us for one more segment. This is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Again, the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. Still in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As Atlanta United gets it done, thanks to hide-and-seek world champion Jamal Traore.
With that's a great way to put
98th
it,
minute goal, sneaking from behind the net, from behind the goalie, takes it away and puts it in the back of the net. Again, a 98th minute winner for Jamal Traore. But starring alongside Traore, the story tonight was another strong goal from Thiago Almada. the stories have been present, and we talked about it in the pregame, Garrett. Remain focused and shut out the outside noise, and I think Almada was able to do that to an extent tonight. And whether we see him on Wednesday, there's probably a pretty good chance this was his final home game. Obviously, he's got the Olympics coming up as well. And Thiago Almada spoke to the assembled media earlier tonight in the locker room after this 2-1 win.
Do you expect this was your last home match with Atlanta United?
Si esperas que este ha sido tu último partido con Atlanta.
Sí, puede ser. Hubo muchos rumores, que algunos son ciertos, pero todavía no hay nada oficial, no puedo confirmar nada sin adelantarme al club. Respeto mucho la institución que estoy y nada, probablemente sí, pero estoy esperando que sea oficial.
It could be. There's a lot of rumors out there, some of which are true. But at the moment, there's nothing that's been announced. So I respect the club and the institution that I'm at. So I don't want to get ahead of myself and say that anything is done. But it could be.
If it happens to be, was tonight a really good way to go out?
Si todo sale y sales del club, si fue un final feliz.
Sí, obviamente, creo que sí, haciendo gol de local, con una victoria, creo que es el final feliz y no tengo la espina de no haber ganado ningún título, pero creo que traté de dar lo mejor y dar todo por el club.
Yeah, I think so. Scoring a goal at home in a victory, it would be a happy ending. The one thing that I didn't do was win a title here, but I think that it was a good game.
Do you feel like you grew as a player here?
¿Crees que creciste como jugador mientras estuviste en Atlanta?
Sí, crecí mucho como jugador, como persona. La cultura de Atlanta me ha enseñado muchísimo. Mis compañeros me enseñaron muchísimo. Creo que crecí muchísimo. Por algo estuve en el Mundial, siempre estuve en el radar de la selección argentina. Creo que fue un paso muy importante el de Vélez Sarsfield a Atlanta.
Yeah, I think I improved as a player, as a person. The culture at Atlanta United helped me a lot. Also, all my teammates. So I think it was a good step in my career to go from Vélez to Atlanta. I got called up to the national team, was always on the radar of the national team, and went to the World Cup.
And so there you have it, Thiago Almada potentially playing his last game. We may see him on Wednesday. We may not. Likely his last game here, it would seem, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium here, Garrett. But either way, with or without him, Atlanta United is traveling to New England, Gillette Stadium, on Wednesday. And before that, we have a game in Copa America. The U.S. men's national team on Monday evening against Uruguay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at Park Bar starting at 8 o'clock for a watch party. We're going to be cheering like heck, hoping that they can find a way to win and find a way to advance. And then later that night, right here on 92.9 The Game, Jason Longshore will have Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a special Monday night edition of that. So it's another busy week for soccer in the city of Atlanta. Again, watch party Monday night. I'll be there at Park Bar. And then Wednesday, the road game. More coverage of Atlanta United right before we head off and run the Peachtree. So, look, if they can make it as electric of a victory Wednesday as they did tonight, I'm all in. But look, it's a situation now in the standings as we wrap up here on the full-time report, Garrett, where you have pulled into a tie with Toronto FC. And look, there's a little bit of a gap, right? Like, I think it's fair to admit there is a gap once you get past Nashville at 7th. They have 26 points. You and Toronto right now tied with 24 points. And you gained some points on Nashville tonight. You gained some points on Charlotte as well. Charlotte and NYCFC, they're on 32. Columbus is on 33. So you still have a lot of ground to make up to make a significant jump. But right now, tied in eighth place, I guess, you know, because of the wins and draws and all that. But the next one in your sights, Toronto and Nashville, and it could be as early as Wednesday for you to jump those two teams, Garrett.
Yeah, and they need to get a result. That's really what it all comes down to. I mean, and I was looking to see if they had a match in hand on Nashville, but they don't. They both played 20 matches at this point. But look, New England Revolution, I mean, they had won four matches in a row, and they just lost 5-1 today. So, I mean, look, maybe you can continue and attack a team that just gave up, I think it was 3-4 second-half goals. And maybe you can continue to ride some of the momentum that you maybe have picked up in this match. And it doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is what you're going to do. And I think Atlanta United under Rob Valentino has been a little bit more consistent. They've been able to come up with that last-second thing in these matches. I mean, outside of the Houston matches, first one here where they give up the late-game stunner where they dropped 2 points in that one. But outside of that, I mean, he's 2-0-2 as the interim manager here of Atlanta United. And 2-1 victors today. You snap the winless streak. A lot of things are moving in the direction that Atlanta United wants. And, I mean, if this was the last match for Thiago Almada in an Atlanta United uniform, or certainly the last one here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's a hell of a one to go out on.
Well, that is going to do it here on the full-time report. Again, it is a 2-1 victory for Atlanta United. All 3 points at home, the first time in nearly 2 months there that we have accomplished that. And, yeah, I mean, I'm still in disbelief at how you were able to find a way, how Jamal Touré was able to sneak in and get the winner in this one. 98th minute. If you haven't seen it on Twitter yet, or X, or wherever you might find highlights, make sure you check it out, because it is one of the more surprising moments that I have witnessed in regards to Atlanta United. So that's going to do it for Garrett Chapman. I am Abe Gordon. We appreciate the work of Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. As always, we have Dom Taroski back in studio and our on-site engineer, Rick Shaw. It is 2-1 for Atlanta United. All 3 points right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You used to call me on my. You used to.
Luca.
AJ.
Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone.
Atlanta United winners 2-1 over Toronto FC, snapping a 7-match winless streak here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Welcome back into the full-time report. A little bit of Drake bringing us back in. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, joined by Mike Conte and Jason Longshore. And because we do get an Atlanta United win, I get a Moe's victory read. And as a proud partner of Atlanta United, Moe's would like to say congratulations on a well-earned victory. As promised, Atlanta United's 2 goals means tomorrow's Moe's will be knocking off $2 all burritos and bowls. Atlanta, when we win, you win. So get to Moe's and enjoy the bold flavor of your victorious $2 off a burrito or bowl. And Toronto, since Moe's and Atlanta United are such good sports, your team is welcome to take advantage of this delicious deal too. Mike, I want to ask you a little bit about the star boy for Atlanta United, who this may have been his very last match in an Atlanta United uniform at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And he has really an incredible finish, just the personification of what he's been here. A quick finish, a 1-2 off of Daniel Rios. What is his legacy at this point? Just looking back at his career, assuming that this is that last match.
I think you could make the argument that he is at least the second best outfield player in Atlanta United history.
Mm.
And you could possibly even make an argument the best individual outfield player in Atlanta United history. I think the only other player in the argument is Miguel Almiron. I think you saw in his almost 3 years here, again, assuming, we don't know, but assuming this was his last home game. And by the way, I don't think this was his last game with Atlanta United. I think there's a decent chance that He could be on this upcoming road trip. Garth Lagerwey did say during the pregame show tonight that discussions are continuing with Eagle Football Group, but no terms have been agreed to yet between the clubs. So if Tiago goes on the road trip, he would play. But I think his legacy will be someone who came in and for a stretch of time, maybe end of the 22 season through midway through 23 when Messi arrived, where you could argue that Thiago Almada was the best player in the league. And then Messi came in, obviously, and Messi's the best player in the world, so it's no slight on Thiago Almada. Really good player. Very, very cool that he got to go out on this note tonight, at least the home portion of his Atlanta United career, by scoring a goal here. Again, not definite, but certainly feels likely that's it for him. He did confirm downstairs a moment ago he is going to the Olympics, no shock there. And he did say downstairs it was possible that this was his last Atlanta United home game.
All respect to Miguel Almiron, but Thiago Almada is the most talented player Atlanta United's ever had. And there's a very good chance that we're still saying that in two, three decades. He is an unbelievable talent. And I think you see it in the different kinds of goals that he scores, the different kinds of sequences that he's involved in. I almost said it. It was in my mind late in that game. I said it a couple of times about how Toronto, what they were trying to do was get Bernardeschi or Insigne in 1v1 situations, and that was their offense. What I love about Thiago Almada is the team is not based on him doing everything. He elevates the players around him. He creates as many chances as he ends up with him for himself. He drops sometimes too much, but he drops in to try to help build up the play for the right reasons. He's trying to help the team. And he is honestly a very selfless player. At times, you kind of want him to take that shot from 30 yards out because you know he can hit it, even though it's not the right decision from a team perspective to take it. He's that good. I think we're going to look back at it in a while and say, man, we were really lucky to get to see some of the things that we saw with him. The San Jose game to open last season, some of the games where, I mean, it was as good as anybody in the world on that day.
The Portland match last year is the best single performance by an Atlanta United player ever and will be a very, very high bar to surpass. When Almada, I think he had 2 goals and 3 assists or something.
Yeah.
Like that. It was just an absolutely incredible night.
He's that good. I think that will remain for a long time, no matter you know who you go get. And it's not to say that you can't get somebody who's very good. It's just that Thiago is special. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he's been talked about for so much. So, you know, this is it's a good thing, ultimately, for everyone involved that this is what's going to happen. And honestly, we talked about with Garth Lagerwey, the timing is good, too, because it gives you more time to go figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, and just I was going to mention on the back of that, this was ultimately always where it was headed.
Yeah,
I mean, you brought this guy in knowing he would be ideally moving on to Europe at some point, and you wanted to be, obviously, some point in a range that was decently close because it meant that his trajectory continued upward. So it is now reaching its natural point where he does head to Europe if it does get
finalized. I've done too many hits on the station lately. I think I might have said this with you last night, Abe, in that, you know, he elevated himself by coming here. And I think that's the element that is still in South America and in other parts of the world, too, that you have to understand. You can come here and get better. And that's what he did. I saw him at Vélez, and he was a very talented up-and-coming player. If he had went to Europe at that time, maybe in the right situation, he would have turned into what he is now. But he wouldn't have got the playing time straight away. He wouldn't have had, I think, the responsibility put on him in a good way. Mm-hmm. Not asking him to do everything, but letting him take on as much as he wants to help the team around him. I don't think he's a better player if he goes somewhere else. He's a better player for coming here. And I think he's the kind of guy that's going to tell the world that, too. And that's going to help Atlanta when you go recruit.
So I don't think it's as much telling the rest of the world. It's showing the rest of the world. And Atlanta United has seemed to do that from their inception back in 2017, from Miguel Almiron to all of these other homegrown players that we've seen, 5 different guys playing at one time last match. This Atlanta United has shown time and time again that they are a place that you can come and develop the talent to win and succeed, not just here in an Atlanta United kit, but throughout the rest of your career as you can build up and establish yourself.
I know there's this narrative that comes up because you get connected to these players because you love what they do and you love what they do representing your team. And I understand it. We're all fans, you know, of sports, and we feel that too. But Mike, we've had this conversation with staff members in terms of what players have told them when they've left, when they've been in other places, about how much they've looked back and either it's enjoyed how they were treated, enjoyed the facilities and just everything they got to be being a player for Atlanta United. And some who maybe thought the grass would be greener in other spots ended up finding out that's not the case. I think everybody looks back on their time here as a good time and a beneficial time.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where, as you said, that we have been told just privately of some players who are no longer here who have asked to come back. And I think that's remarkable. You know, there's a reason why Atlanta United is always in that player survey, the number one or number two choice among all players in the league as a club that they would want to play for. And there's so many different reasons, and what Garrett is saying about the infrastructure and the way that they develop young players, it's a big part of it.
Yeah, giving the kids an opportunity to play is huge.
But I think also what's huge, I mean, if you're in your car going home tonight, pat yourself on the back. Not too many people left after Toronto defended that recycled corner at the end of the game. It would have been very, very tempting to try to get in the aisle and beat a little bit of traffic. And it wasn't the most full crowd that I've ever seen here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but they were loud, and especially at the end of the game tonight. And look, the fans of this club have had to endure a bumpy couple months, especially with the performances at home. I'm not saying even that the performance tonight was dramatically better than the performance against Houston or even the performance against Charlotte and LAFC, matches where Atlanta United lost. They found some magic at the end of the match because Jamal Traore remained dialed in and remained engaged. And that was a great, great play by him. But I would say in general, I don't think this team is playing dramatically better now than they were maybe a month ago. I just think they're starting to get a little more luck, a few more bounces, and mentally they're dealing with adversity maybe a teeny bit better than they were. You conceded to Bernard Eske tonight. There was no letdown. Atlanta United, in my opinion, Jason, controlled the match from that point forward.
Yeah, there wasn't a letdown for sure. I think that's a we've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
Where it's, and Rios kind of talked about it when I chatted with him. It was kind of out of nowhere. And so many times when that happens, when it's just a weird goal, it's a great play from Bernardeschi. Beats Wiley 1v1, finds the back of the net. So many times after that, you'd see that letdown.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a difference, it's that you haven't seen that lately. When I'm with you, I don't think they're playing great right now. I think they can play better. I think they need to play better. They need to control games a little bit more. They need to create a little bit more in the final third. They need to be better, but they're finding some things, and maybe it's just being good at hide and seek at this point.
Great teams find ways to win games, and at the end of the day, I mean, Atlanta United showed today that they can be that great team, and 45,000 fans, it's still a tremendous atmosphere here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I was down on the field, and I can contend, I could agree with everything you guys said. Not a soul left, it seemed like, and it was pretty damn loud down there on the pitch, and you could feel it down there, all 45,000 people on their feet. But this is the full-time report. Atlanta United is a 2-1 victor over Toronto FC. They go on the road next Wednesday to New England, and hopefully we can continue this and kind of keep the streak going. But we're going to keep this full-time report going. More on the other side. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman. If you guys have questions, make sure you get them into us on Twitter. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, kind enough to sit in with us for one more segment. This is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Again, the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. Still in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As Atlanta United gets it done thanks to hide-and-seek world champion Jamal Traore.
That's a great way to put
98th
it.
98th-minute goal sneaking from behind the net from behind the goalie, takes it away and puts it in the back of the net. Again, a 98th minute winner for Jamal Thierry. But starring alongside Thierry, the story tonight was another strong goal from Thiago Almada. The stories have been present, and we talked about it in the pregame, Garrett. Remain focused and shut out the outside noise, and I think Almada was able to do that to an extent tonight. And whether we see him on Wednesday, there's probably a pretty good chance this was his final home game. Obviously, he's got the Olympics coming up as well. And Thiago Almada spoke to the assembled media earlier tonight in the locker room after this 2-1 win.
Do you expect this was your last home match with Atlanta United?
Si esperas que este ha sido tu último partido con Atlanta.
Sí, puede ser. Hubo muchos rumores. Algunos son ciertos, pero todavía no hay nada oficial. No puedo confirmar nada sin adelantarme al club. Respeto mucho la institución que estoy y nada, probablemente sí. Pero estoy esperando que sea oficial.
It could be. There's a lot of rumors out there, some of which are true. But at the moment, there's nothing that's been announced. So I respect the club and the institution that I'm at. So I don't want to get ahead of myself and say that anything is done. But it could be.
If it happens to be, was tonight a really good way to go out?
Si todo sale y sales del club, si fue un final feliz.
Sí, obviamente, creo que sí, haciendo gol de local, con una victoria, creo que es el final feliz, y no tengo la espina de no haber ganado ningún título, pero creo que traté de dar lo mejor y dar todo por el club.
Yeah, I think so. Scoring a goal at home in a victory, it's a happy. It would be a happy ending. The one thing that I didn't do was win a title here. But I think that it was a good game.
Do you feel like you grew as a player here?
¿Crees que creciste como jugador mientras estuviste en Atlanta?
Sí, crecí mucho como jugador, como persona. La cultura de Atlanta me ha enseñado muchísimo. Mis compañeros me enseñaron muchísimo. Creo que crecí muchísimo. Por algo estuve en el Mundial, siempre estuve en el radar de la selección argentina. Creo que fue un paso muy importante el de Vélez Sarsfield a Atlanta.
Yeah, I think I improved as a player, as a person. The culture at Atlanta United helped me a lot. Also, all my teammates. So I think it was a good step in my career to go from Vélez to Atlanta. I got called up to the national team, was always on the radar of the national team, and went to the World Cup.
And so there you have it, Thiago Almada potentially playing his last game. We may see him on Wednesday. We may not. Likely his last game here, it would seem, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium here, Garrett. But either way, with or without him, Atlanta United is traveling to New England, Gillette Stadium, on Wednesday. And before that, we have a game in Copa America. The U.S. men's national team on Monday evening against Uruguay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at Park Bar starting at 8 o'clock for a watch party. We're going to be cheering like heck, hoping that they can find a way to win and find a way to advance. And then later that night, right here on 92.9 The Game, Jason Longshore will have Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a special Monday night edition of that. So it's another busy week for soccer in the city of Atlanta. Again, watch party Monday night. I'll be there at Park Bar. And then Wednesday, the road game. More coverage of Atlanta United right before we head off and run the Peachtree. So, look, if they can make it as electric of a victory Wednesday as they did tonight, I'm all in. But look, it's a situation now in the standings as we wrap up here on the full-time report, Garrett, where you have pulled into a tie with Toronto FC. And look, there's a little bit of a gap, right? Like, I think it's fair to admit there is a gap once you get past Nashville at 7th. They have 26 points. You and Toronto right now tied with 24 points. And you gained some points on Nashville tonight. You gained some points on Charlotte as well. Charlotte and NYCFC, they're on 32. Columbus is on 33. So you still have a lot of ground to make up to make a significant jump. But right now, tied in 8th place, I guess, you know, because of the wins and draws and all that. But the next one in your sights, Toronto and Nashville, and it could be as early as Wednesday for you to jump those two teams, Garrett.
Yeah, and they need to get a result. That's really what it all comes down to. And I was looking to see if they had a match in hand on Nashville, but they don't. They both played 20 matches at this point. But look, New England Revolution, I mean, they had won 4 matches in a row, and they just lost 5-1 today. So, I mean, look, maybe you can continue and attack a team that just gave up, I think it was 3-4 second-half goals. And maybe you can continue to ride some of the momentum that you maybe have picked up in this match. And it doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is what you're going to do. And I think Atlanta United under Rob Valentino has been a little bit more consistent. They've been able to come up with that last-second thing in these matches. I mean, outside of the Houston matches, first one here where they give up the late-game stunner where they dropped 2 points in that one. But outside of that, I mean, he's 2-0-2 as the interim manager here of Atlanta United. And 2-1 victors today. You snap the winless streak. A lot of things are moving in the direction that Atlanta United wants. And, I mean, if this was the last match for Thiago Almada in an Atlanta United uniform, or certainly the last one here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's a hell of a one to go out on.
Well, that is going to do it here on the full-time report. Again, it is a 2-1 victory for Atlanta United. All 3 points at home, the first time in nearly 2 months there that we have accomplished that. And, I mean, I'm still in disbelief at how you were able to find a way, how Jamal Touré was able to sneak in and get the winner in this one. 98th minute. If you haven't seen it on on Twitter yet, or X, or wherever you might find highlights, make sure you check it out, because it is one of the more surprising moments that I have witnessed in regards to Atlanta United. So that's going to do it for Garrett Chapman. I am Abe Gordon. We appreciate the work of Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. As always, we have Dom Cherosky back in studio and our on-site engineer, Rick Shaw. It is 2-1 for Atlanta United. All 3 points right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Again, the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman still in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. As Atlanta United gets it done, thanks to hide-and-seek world champion Jamal Touré.
That's a great way to put
98th
it, yeah.
minute goal, sneaking from behind the net, from behind the goalie, takes it away and puts it in the back of the net. Again, a 98th minute winner for Jamal Touré. But starring alongside Touré, the story tonight was another strong goal from Thiago Almada. The stories have been present, and we talked about it in the pregame, Garrett. Remain focused and shut out the outside noise, and I think Almada was able to do that to an extent tonight. And whether we see him on Wednesday, there's probably a pretty good chance this was his final home game. Obviously, he's got the Olympics coming up as well. And Thiago Almada spoke to the assembled media earlier tonight in the locker room after this 2-1 win.
Do you expect this was your last home match with Atlanta United?
Si esperas que este ha sido tu último partido con Atlanta.
Sí, puede ser. Hubo muchos rumores. Algunos son ciertos, pero todavía no hay nada oficial. No puedo confirmar nada sin adelantarme al club. Respeto mucho la institución que estoy y nada, probablemente sí, pero estoy esperando que se haga oficial.
It could be. There's a lot of rumors out there, some of which are true. But at the moment, you know, there's nothing that's been announced. So I respect the club and the institution that I'm at. So I don't want to get ahead of myself and say that anything is done. But it could be.
If it happens to be, was tonight a really good way to go out?
Si todo sale y sales del club, si fue un final feliz.
Sí, obviamente, creo que sí, haciendo gol de local. Con una victoria, creo que sí, creo que es el final feliz. Y no tengo la espina de no haber ganado ningún título, pero creo que...
Yeah, I think so. Scoring a goal at home in a victory, it's a happy. It would be a happy ending. You know, the one thing that I didn't do was win a title here. But I think that it was a good game.
Do you feel like you grew as a player here?
¿Crees que creciste como jugador mientras estuviste en Atlanta?
Sí, crecí mucho como jugador, como persona. La cultura de Atlanta me ha enseñado muchísimo. Mis compañeros me enseñaron muchísimo. Creo que crecí muchísimo. Por algo estuve en el Mundial, siempre estuve en el radar de la selección argentina. Creo que fue un paso muy importante el de Vélez Sarsfield a Atlanta.
Yeah, I think I improved as a player, as a person. The culture at Atlanta United helped me a lot. Also, all my teammates. So I think it was a good step in my career to go from Vélez to Atlanta. I got called up to the national team, was always on the radar of the national team, and went to the World Cup.
And so there you have it, Thiago Almada potentially playing his last game. We may see him on Wednesday. We may not. Likely his last game here, it would seem, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium here, Garrett. But either way, with or without him, Atlanta United is traveling to New England, Gillette Stadium, on Wednesday. And before that, we have a game in Copa America. The U.S. men's national team on Monday evening against Uruguay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at Park Bar starting at 8 o'clock for a watch party. We're going to be cheering like heck, hoping that they can find a way to win and find a way to advance. And then later that night, right here on 92.9 The Game, Jason Longshore will have Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a special Monday night edition of that. So it's another busy week for soccer in the city of Atlanta. Again, watch party Monday night. I'll be there at Park Bar. And then Wednesday, the road game. More coverage of Atlanta United right before we head off and run the Peachtree. So, look, if they can make it as electric of a victory Wednesday as they did tonight, I'm all in. But look, it's a situation now in the standings as we wrap up here on the full-time report, Garrett, where you have pulled into a tie with Toronto FC. And look, there's a little bit of a gap, right? Like, I think it's fair to admit there is a gap once you get past Nashville at 7th. They have 26 points. You and Toronto right now tied with 24 points. And you gained some points on Nashville tonight. You gained some points on Charlotte as well. Charlotte and NYCFC, they're on 32. Columbus is on 33. So you still have a lot of ground to make up to make a significant jump. But right now, tied in 8th place, I guess, you know, because of the wins and draws and all that. But the next one in your sights, Toronto and Nashville, and it could be as early as Wednesday for you to jump those two teams, Garrett.
Yeah, and they need to get a result. That's really what it all comes down to. I mean, and I was looking to see if they had a match in hand on Nashville, but they don't. They both played 20 matches at this point. But look, New England Revolution, I mean, they had won 4 matches in a row, and they just lost 5-1 today. So, I mean, look, maybe you can continue and attack a team that just gave up, I think it was 3-4 second half goals, and maybe you can continue to ride some of the momentum that you maybe have picked up in this match. And it doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is what you're going to do. And I think Atlanta United under Rob Valentino has been a little bit more consistent. They've been able to come up with that last second thing in these matches. I mean, outside of the Houston matches, first one here where they give up the late game stunner where they dropped 2 points in that one. But outside of that, I mean, he's 2-0-2 as the interim manager here of Atlanta United. And 2-1 victors today. You snap the winless streak. A lot of things are moving in the direction that Atlanta United wants. And, I mean, if this was the last match for Thiago Almada in an Atlanta United uniform, or certainly the last one here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it's a hell of a one to go out on.
Well, that is going to do it here on the Full-Time Report. Again, it is a 2-1 victory for Atlanta United. All 3 points at home, the first time in nearly 2 months there that we have accomplished that. And, yeah, I mean, I'm still in disbelief at how you were able to find a way, how Jamal Touré was able to sneak in and get the winner in this one. 98th minute. If you haven't seen it on on Twitter yet, or X, or wherever you might find highlights, make sure you check it out, because it is one of the more surprising moments that I have witnessed in regards to Atlanta United. So that's going to do it for Garrett Chapman. I am Abe Gordon. We appreciate the work of Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. As always, we have Dom Cherosky back in studio and our on-site engineer, Rick Shaw. It is 2-1 for Atlanta United. All 3 points right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.